So Parshas Pinchas, you'll find here on page 403 in the Blue Chumash. Yeah. So Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe Limor, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron Kohen, Heishivas Chamasi me'al bnei Yisrael, v'kanoes kinasi b'socham, v'lo chilisias bnei Yisrael b'kinasi. So Pinchas plays a special role over here, as we saw at the end of Parshas Balak. And as a result of Pinchas's kanos, the kanos kinasi, and we'll speak a lot about the word bisocham, is therefore lo chilisias bnei Yisrael. God says, I will spare the Jewish people. I want to destroy them, but I'm not going to destroy them. And finally, lochein emor, hineni nosein lo es brisi shalom. And what we want to do is we want to study two midrashim, very similar one to the other, perhaps they complement each other. One medrash is in the Yalkut, the other medrash is in the Targum Yonasan. Targum Yonasan and Uziel is a very valid and authorized authentic source for midrashim. And sometimes there's no place for midrashim other than Targum Yonasan. And a lot of what we're going to do today is al derech remez. You know, the Torah is divided up into pshat, remez, drush, and sod, pardes. And remez is really what we call gematrios and the study of letters. So this is, I was planning to prepare something more on the pshuto shel mikra for today, but b'lineder, I'll try to prepare that for Tuesday. So instead for today, we'll talk more about the Alpi Remez. Amar Rab Shimon ben Lachish, Pinchas hu Eliyahu. You take two pages if you like. That's a set, I just didn't get a chance to...
Sorry.
No, I don't know, maybe... Michael, you took so this is a full set here. I got a little confused here, that's the original.
Yeah.
So we're in the second paragraph. Pinchas hu Eliyahu. Are you familiar with this, Rabosai? The Chazal identified Pinchas with Eliyahu. And how did Chazal see that in the promise and the reward that's bestowed upon Pinchas? L'chein emar, hineni nosein lo es brisi shalom. How does brisi shalom have anything to do with Eliyahu? And Reish Lakish says, Atana Sata Shalom, you, Pinchas, have created peace between Klal Yisrael and Beini. Beini means Avinu Shebashamayim, in this world. Is then L'asid Lavo, which means at the time of Mashiach, you will be the harbinger of the Bias HaMashiach. Ata Husha Sid Litain Shalom Beini Levein Bonai. Meaning, what's going to happen at the end of days, which is a kind of pacification between God and the people of Israel, that's going to be brought about by Pinchas. And that's a fulfillment of what it says in the Pasuk at the end of Tanakh, Hine anochi shaleach lachem es Eliyahu hanavi, lavo lifnei bo yom Hashem, ve'yishiv lev avos al banim. So that lev avos al banim in this medrash should not be taken literally. We're not referring to parents and children, fathers and sons, but we're in a more symbolic method or metaphorically, we're referring to God, our Father in heaven, and the people of Israel. And Veheshiv means to regenerate a close relationship, to pacify, and somebody faults a parent, in this case to Avinu Shebashamayim, then we have to sort of make amends. And that's what Eliyahu is going to do. And this Medrash says that Pinchas is also creating amends between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the people of Israel at the time that they sin. He, Pinchas, through his Maisa Kanos, creates peace between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. So what's the ultimate peace that's historically the ultimate level of peace between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael so be when? At the time of Mashiach. And who's going to bring that about? The Pasuk says explicitly it's Eliyahu, and now we're going to identify this experience or this role that Eliyahu is going to play with the reward that's granted to Pinchas, because Pinchas's reward is that in the Asid, in the future, he will create Shalom. And that's a Midah Keneged Midah, because since in the past, at the time of the Maisa Pa'ar, he created Shalom, therefore God says, Brisi Shalom, he's the one who's going to create the ultimate Shalom. In the case of Baal Pa'ar, this Chet, he created Shalom between Hashem and the people, and ultimately down the line, he's going to create peace between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael at the time of the ultimate Geula. And a very similar idea, almost identical, appears in another Medrash, which is quoted by Targum Yonasan and Ben Uziel, in which he says, "Hare ani kores imo es brisi shalom eseyu malach. I will make Pinchas into a malach. Kayom, he will live. V'yichya li'olam, he's granted immortality. And why? Because at the end of days, he, Pinchas, will serve a very unique role. Levaser al ha-ge'ula. What does levaser mean? A harbinger. Levaser means, if you want to write this down, it's a very good word that you'll know it, because I taught for 18 years in a place called Mivaseret, which is from the same shoresh. And Mivaser, or Mivaseret, you may remember from Hoshana Rabbah. Are you able to stay that long in shul, like till the very end when they start clapping with the Hoshanas? Yeah. It's like it takes a couple hours. Yeah. You know? So the pinnacle is Kol Mivaser, Mivaser V'Yomer, and then we hit the thing. Yeah. So that Kol Mivaser and that long piyut that goes on for pages is what we call Levaser Al HaGeula. You know, Shoshana Rabbah is the transition period between this world and the Geula world, the redemption world. So that's called the Mavaser, called Mavaser. And who is the Mavaser? So if you would ask anyone on the street who is the ultimate Mavaser, they would tell you it's Eliyahu HaNavi. But according to the Medrash quoted here in Targum Yonasan, a more meticulous answer to the question who is the Mavaser would be Pinchas. Because that's the Brisi Shalom that he, Pinchas, will be the harbinger. He'll bring us the good tidings that the time for the Geula has arrived. Okay, so we'll try to rub shoulders with Pinchas if we can, because we want to be there when, you know, the first to know. And we're here in Yerushalayim, so you know we don't have to get on a plane or anything. You know, we're close in proximity. Now again, although Midah Keneged Midah certainly means that Pinchas deserves to live forever and ever, which it says here, he'll be like a malach kayam v'chai li'alma. That makes sense as Midah Keneged Midah, because he saved Klal Yisrael from destruction. But where's the Midah Keneged Midah and the fact that he will be the Mavaser of Geula? Why is Pinchas granted this great blessing as a reward that he will be the one who will tell us it's time for the Geula? The Geula has arisen. The redemption has come about. What's the connection between the willingness and the eagerness of Pinchas to get up and kill Zimri and Cozbi in order to save Klal Yisrael, and the fact that he is granted the special role down the line of being the Mavaser HaGeula? Now, what the Shvilei Pinchas is going to try to accomplish in this Maimar is to really define what Geula is all about. That's why I'm quite excited about this. It doesn't mean that on next Shabbos, Michael, you know, before Mincha, I'm going to use this, you know. But I think this is a very important mimer. As I said at the outset, it's all based on what's called remes. You know, the Torah could be interpreted in 70 different ways. So to appreciate this particular essay, you're going to have to be very kind of liberal about your ability to see the Torah in a different light, not the simple pshat. He starts with the Zohar, as he usually does, and he says that the Zohar describes a battle that we don't even know about. And that battle takes place between Pinchas and a Malach. You know, which is the first famous battle between a human being and a Malach? Yaakov, right? But this is a different kind of Malach. That Malach would ultimately bestow a blessing on Yaakov. This Malach that we're talking about is the most dangerous Malach that ever existed. He's called the Malach HaMavis, someone that you want to stay far away from. And Pinchas was in a wrestling match with this Malach HaMavis, because this Malach HaMavis wanted to kill and destroy the whole nation of Israel. And who was the one who stood up and battled against him? It was none other than Pinchas. And at the end of Parshas Pinchas, the end of Parshas Balak, the previous parsha, the Torah says, "Vayar Pinchas ben Elazar vayokam mitocha eda." Every word in this pasuk is very critical. But let's start with the fact that the vayera, the vayar here means that Pinchas went through some sort of a thought process. Like you may remember at the beginning of Parshas Vayera, when Avraham Avinu saw the Malachim, he went through a thought process. He what was he busy with at that time? Do you remember? It was the third day after his Mila.
Welcome strangers.
Well, that's true, but at that moment when the strangers came by, he was called an Osek B'mitzvah. What mitzvah was he involved in? Who came to visit him on the third day of his meal? Right. So that's called Kabbalas Pnei Shechina. And when the first Vayar, and then Nitziv Mivalos develops this beautifully, he says, the first Vayar was very perplexing, because Avraham Avinu sees three wayfarers, and now he doesn't know what to do. He's caught in a bind, because, you know, so according to the Nitziv, basically he says to God, "God, can you do me a favor, wait around a little bit, you know?" What does it say there? That he says to God, "Please don't leave me." Okay. In any event, so what did Pinchas become aware of? What's the deeper meaning of Vayar? Vayar Pinchas. And the Zohar comes up with a whole new pshat in Vayar. And he says the following. What Pinchas became aware of was that the sin of Klal Yisrael at that place called Pa'ar, which was a result of the fact that Bilam gave this Eitzah to Balak, that the best way of defeating the people is with immorality. And the worst sinner of them all was a fellow by the name of Zimri. And Pinchas saw something in the sky. You and I wouldn't have seen this in the sky. And what he saw in the sky was a letter. Which letter of the Hebrew alphabet did he see floating in the sky? It was the Mem. Which is, if you imagine that this Malach had a sweatshirt, which letter would be on his sweatshirt? It would be a Mem. Because Mem is the first of three letters. Mavis. So every Malach had, he was a Malach of X. This guy was the Malach of Mavis. So what he boasted was the Mem. And the Mem that Pinchas saw was stained with blood. And this meant, in Pinchas' mind, it was almost like a nevuah, like an image that he would interpret. He interpreted it as a siman, that the Malach HaMavis was activating himself. He was sharpening the knives, if you know what I mean. I don't mean that literally, but figuratively. And he was ready to add another two letters to his name. And that would be the Vav and the Tav, to make it into Maves. And ready to activate his goal, which would be to kill all of Israel, to destroy the people of Israel, Chas v'Shalom, Maves al Yisrael. Now you could imagine that Pinchas would have asked himself, why is God showing me this vision? Right? There must be a vision. There must be a meaning to this vision. The Zohar goes on to say that Pinchas understood that the Mem that he saw floating in the air was a symbolic representation of the Malach HaMavis, because before man and Eve sinned at the Eitz Hadas, the Mem of Mavis hovered over the head of Adam HaRishon. But the Mem was disconnected from the other two letters of its name, of the Vav and the Tav. And that's why the Malach HaMavis, until the sin of Adam HaRishon, was only a Mem, which means he had no control and no ability to take the life of man. Man was immortal at that time. Again, you might ask me, so why was there a Malach HaMavos? What was his job? You know, he seems to be twiddling his thumbs. But it wasn't a long time since he was created until he got back the Vav and the Tav. It probably took about 5 minutes, because immediately the unfortunate tragedy took place, and Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, and at that point two letters were added to the Mem of the Malach HaMavos. And where do we see a symbol of these two letters, Vav Tav? The Pasuk says, Vatikach mi Piryo, she took of the fruit, Vatochal, and she ate it, Vatiteng Amli Ishad, she gave it to her husband, Imam, Vyochal, Vatikferu Eneshneim. So when they sinned, first she sinned, she took mi Piryo. Now what is mi Piryo over here? So he says the following, that the mem of mi piryo is actually superfluous. It could have said vatikach piryo. What's mi piryo? And he says that that mem of mi piryo is the mem of the Malach HaMavos, of the word mavis. So when she takes from the fruit of this tree, she's really activating the Malach HaMavos, because in the aftermath of this sin, man becomes mortal and he's going to die. Now, right now, the mem is extra. Okay, fine. The mem is extra, mi piryo, and that represents the mem which is going to activate the Malach HaMavos. But wait a second. The Malach HaMavos is still floating in the air. He still hasn't connected with the vav and the tav. So in order to figure out how the Malach HaMavos, as a result of this pasuk, which describes the chet of Chava, becomes activated, meaning he has complete mem, vav, tav. So we're going to have to do a little bit of calculations over here. The Torah says, Vatikach, Vatochal, Vatitein, Vatipokachna. Notice that here are four consecutive words. Well, I shouldn't say consecutive, because after Vatikach it says Mipirio, and after Vatochal it says Vatiten, oh, those are consecutive. And then at the end of the pasuk says Vatipokachna. But in any event, within a very short span of a few letters, the Torah connects four words that begin with a vav and a tav. And those four words really describe the sin of Chava. Vatikach, she takes, Vatochal, Vatiten, Vatipokachna. And what we do is we take the vav tav, which are the first two letters of each of these four consecutive words, and we add that vav tav to the mem of mi piryo, and what we're left with is mavis. And it's interesting that the vav tav appears four times. Correct? And the four times, says the Zohar, symbolize the four ruchos ha'olam, the four directions of the universe. And there's going to be a punishment four times over for each of the four ruchos ha'olam, for each of these actions of vatikach, vatochal, etc. And now those two letters, vati, meaning vav tav, become attached to mem. What happens when you attach the vav tav to the mem? What are you left with? Mavis. And here in the brackets, he quotes the Rupchuser, one of the great Hasidic rebbes, who has a very fascinating insight to a pasuk in Nehemiah. This pasuk in Nehemiah should be absolutely familiar to us because we recite it on a daily basis. Vatokom est varecha ki tzadik ata, vatera es oni avoseinu b'mitzrayim, vatitein oso sumosu b'far b'chol avodah, vatas lecho shem kehayom hazeh. What do you notice about the four verbs here? What? Anybody? Can you help me out here? It says vatokom, vatera, vatitein, vatas. What's true about all those four verbs? Yeah, they all start with the vav and the tav. And these words in Sefer Nehemiah are related to or describing the Bnei Yisrael receiving the Torah. And when they received the Torah, which was given to Moshe for 40 days, they did what's called a tikkun, a rectification of the letter mem. Now let me explain something which I don't know if we've ever spoken about. There are two moments in time in the history of man where man achieves immortality. One is at the time of Adam v'Chava, after their creation, before they sin. And the second is at the time when Bnei Yisrael received the Torah. And this is not so well known, but according to the mystics, what happened at that moment when Klal Yisrael said Nasa v'Nishba is they were granted immortality. They lost it with the sin of the Egel, which we're commemorating today on Yud Zayin B'Tammuz. And what happens is that at the time of Kabbalah HaTorah, they fix up the Mem, because the Mem represents the 40 days of Kabbalah HaTorah, when Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to the mountain. And then they do a tikkun on the Vav Tav. We've already established that Chava with the Vav Tav violated the most severe Isur. And what did she do? She ate from the Eitz Hadas, Vatika, Vatochal, Vatitein, Vatipachno. Now Klal Yisrael are going to take those four Vav Tavs, and they're going to do what's called a Tikkun. They are going to fix up what brought about Misa into the world, the four Vav Tavs of Chava. Our four Vav Tavs, at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim and Kabbalah HaTorah, those are going to completely neutralize the four Vav Tavs of Chava. So what are we left with then? If we remove the four Vav Tavs of Chava, what are we left with? Immortality, correct? Because what brought about death into the world? It was those four Vav Tavs. The tragedy of it is that subsequent to that experience, there was Chet HaEgel. So there were Klal Yisrael reciting, Nasa V'Nishma, they're ready to accept the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu is up on the mountain. They're anticipating his arrival, his return in 40 days. So those are 40 days in which they're anticipating Moshe Rabbeinu. What are they doing during those 40 days? They're doing a tikkun on the Vav Tav of Chava. So imagine what a halakha, what a high level they reached. And all of a sudden, boom, they fell from the highest mountain to the lowest level of Chet HaEgel. And in so doing, we're still left with the Vav Tav, because we couldn't neutralize the Vav Tav unless we had a rectification, but that rectification is over with. It's history. Now, if you're following me in the text, we're on the left column, and we're up to the second paragraph that starts with the word Vehine. Pinchas sees the Mem on top of the heads of Israel. It's hovering. It means the Machamovis is now looking to activate itself against the people of Israel by linking up with the Vav and the Tav. So Pinchas realized that this is a dangerous moment. So what does he do? According to the Zohar, he mentions the ineffable name of Hashem, the Shema Meforosh, and he zaps the Mem. And the Mem now comes down to him. So anything that's floating in the air, if you want to bring it down, you have to say the Shema Meforosh. This would help us in Aza, down near Aza. But, we get all the balloons there, but we don't know the Shema Meforosh. Unless, gentlemen, you know the Shema Meforosh, and you're just not letting on? Because if you do, I'm taking you on the next plane down to Aza. We'll take a plane. I don't know how long it is by car, 3 hours, I don't know, whatever it is. So now the Malach HaMavis is in deep trouble, because as a result of the annunciation of the Shema Meforosh, he's left memless, if you will. So what does Pinchas do? He grabs on to the letter Mem, and he adds it to his name. Now his name is Pinchas. How many times does a Mem appear in the name Pinchas? Zero. So what does it mean that he adds Pinchas to his name? And the answer is Romach. Okay, now here we have to do a very quick calculation. What is the numerical value of Romach without a vav? 248. That's pretty easy. But now, what's the numerical value of Pinchas?
How do you spell it? With the yud or not?
With the yud. So right.
No,
so excellent. 148 and 60. How much is 60 and 148?
209.
How much?
208.
208. Now I want you to add 40 to 208, and what are you left with? 248, and that's the exact equivalent of Romach, which is 248. So Pinchas adds the 40, the Mem, to his name because he now has vanquished the Mem of the Malach HaMavis. And what message does he get from doing so? So he used the Shema Mefarsh to acquire ownership or possession over the Mem of Malach HaMavis. Okay, good. So now we're going to add Mem to Pinchas' name because he now has possessed, he's vanquished the Mem. So what are we left with? Oh, so Pinchas understands that we're left with a message that's coming from Shemayim that he should grab onto a Romach. A Romach, I think in English, is translated as what? A spear? A sword? So he's got now a sword, and he has to decide what to do with the sword. So the Torah testifies that Vayar Pinchas ben Elozer ben Arna Kohen, what does Pinchas see? He sees a Mem of Moves, and it's hovering over the heads of the people. So what's his response to this? Again, he pronunciates the Shema Mefarsh, gets on hold on of the Mem, adds the Mem to his name, Pinchas, and now he's up to 348, and 248, sorry, and Vayokom Mitocha Edo, he stands up, Vayikach Romach B'yado, he grabs onto the sword, and this sword is now a connection of the Mem with Reish Ches is his number, right, 208, So you add 40 to 208 and you get the Ramach, which is the same as the Romach. And what does he do with the Romach? So the Torah describes it in all its gory details. We don't even have to go over this. You know what he does with the Romach. And as a result of his using the Romach, which again he sees in this transmission from God, as a result the Pasuk testifies, Vateyotzer Amagefa Me'al B'nei Yisrael. This is how Pinchas saves Bnei Yisrael. So basically, Rabbi Osai, the battle is between Pinchas and which Malach? The Malach HaMavis. And who wins the battle? Pinchas. And how does he win the battle? By expressing the Shem Hashem and taking the Mem. Okay, he takes the Mem. That's wonderful. So Malach HaMavis now is in a pretty shaky position. But the Malach HaMavis still hopes to get back the Mem. And if Pinchas waits around and he doesn't take advantage of that golden opportune moment, then things might get worse. So Pinchas understands that by taking the Mem, he enhances his name from 208 to 248, which is the famous Romach. And he's going to take the Romach, and he's going to be Vateyotzer Amagefa Me'al B'nei Yisrael. Now, the Zohar says that we go back to the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Pinchas ben Elozer ben Aaron HaKohen Heshiv es Hamasi Me'al B'nei Yisrael. Do you see the words Me'al B'nei Yisrael? What's Me'al B'nei Yisrael? How does the Chema, the Divine Wrath, hover over Me'al B'nei Yisrael? That's the Mem of Moves, of the Malach HaMoves. And the Mem is now full of Dam. And it's hovering over the heads of Klal Yisrael. So Pinchas comes along, but Kanoas Kinyasi, he's going to be the zealous one, and he's going to, as we know, he's going to manufacture a Romach, which he's going to use to quiet down the divine wrath and save the Jewish people. But there's one extra word here that we have to point out in the Zohar. The Zohar says, it says, "Bekanoes kinasi bisocham." And what you have to do here is you have to put a knife here, so to speak, and slice this word into two parts. There's bitoch, which means inside, and then there's the mem. The mem now stands on its own. And that's the mem within the name Moves, which is the name of the Malach HaMoves, which Pinchas now has successfully removed. So that's Bitocham. Bitocham means inside the Malach HaMavis, there's a mem, and I'm going to remove that mem. And by removing the mem from the Malach HaMavis now becomes empowered. Impotent, I guess. He's unable to use his energy and kill anyone because the mem was taken away. So that's the betoth mem. The mem within the word mavis was taken away by Pinchas, and therefore Malachi Lisias Bnei Yisrael Bekanasi. Now, none of this has anything to do with our question about why Pinchas is granted the gift that he is going to be the ultimate mavaser haguula. And he says, in order to understand that, you have to turn to the next page. And that's the Zohar Chai, which is a very Kabbalistic interpretation of the Zohar. And we'll understand his words based on the Tolus Yaakov Yosef. The Tolus Yaakov Yosef was the disciple of the Besht, of the Baal Shem. You know, we have very little Torah from the Baal Shem. None of it was published. But what we do have is a number of Sfarim. At the head of the list is the Tolus Yaakov Yosef, who transmit the Torah of the Baal Shem. And many people mistakenly think that the Baal Shem was just a peasant, you know, and it was a grassroots movement. No, the Baal Shem Tov was a great scholar, and he had his own original, what I would call Hasidic interpretations of the Torah. And the Gemara says in Sukkah, Li'asit Lavo, at the end of days, when it's time for the Geula, the redemption, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu Li'etzahar V'shofto B'fnei HaTzadikim V'fnei HaRishonim. So you know that there are certain countries now, anti-Semitic countries, that are trying to pass bills to, especially in Sweden and Norway, those kind of countries, Scandinavia, they're trying to outlaw Shechita. Correct? And what they're doing is they're imposing a law on God. Maybe God is free from this Isur Shechita. But it says here in the Gemara and Sukkah that ultimately the great Shochet will be HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's going to shef the Yetzirah. And the Yetzirah is also the Malach HaMavis. And he's going to shef the Yetzirah publicly. Again, there's more to the Gemara there, but that's all we need for our interpretation. Because what happens is that basically, Pinchas is acting almost like God will act at the end of days. Pinchas, in his time, is taking the Romach, and he's going to use a kind of a Shechita that eventually will be replaced by the Shechita of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Yetzirah, at the end of days. Now, what's going on over here is that there's a name called Samuel. And the rest of this article is about the name Samuel. I think we've mentioned it in the past. The Yetzirah is called Samuel. And the name Samuel, you know, everything in Tumah has to have a nitzotz of Kedusha in order to exist. So if you take a look at the name Samuel, where will I find the Kedusha in the name Samuel? The person is trying to trip us up and make us all rebellious against God, if you call him that being. Jeremy, can you help me out here? Where do you see in the name Samuel the Kedusha element of this Yetzirah? Correct, the Aleph Lamed. Excellent. So the Aleph Lamed, at the end of his name, is going to give him the Chiyus, the unique of Kedusha. And now what we're left with is the Samach Mem. So the real evil, so to speak, and the destructive force of the Yetzirah really lies in the Samach Mem. Comes along the Baal Shem Tov, and he says the following: that this os, this letter mem, in the name Samuel, is the chelek rashebo. That's the most evil, destructive element in the name Samuel, is the mem. And ultimately, says the Baal Shem Tov, at the time of the Geula, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will slaughter the Yetzirah, that's what we saw in the Gemara in Sukkah, what's the meaning of this whole, you know, ceremony here where Hashem takes the Yetzirah and he slaughters it in the presence of the Tzaddikim and the Rishayim? Says the Baal Shem Tov that what Hashem is going to do is he's going to remove with that Shechita knife, he's going to cut out the letter Mem. Now, why is it so important for the Ribbono Shel Olam to remove the letter Mem? because the mem is the evil of the Malach HaMavet. That really is the personification of the evil. What we're left with by removing the mem is Samach Aleph Lamed. And again, you and I don't know what the holiest name of God is. It's called the Os Ben Ayin Beis Osios. It has 72 letters to it. It's the ineffable name of God. I don't know if Artsville has a list of all 72 letters anywhere in his Pirush al Torah. But in any event, this name of God, which is Sa'el, Samach Aleph Lamed, is part of a greater whole, a constellation, which is made up of 72 letters. The good letters, therefore, in Samal, are the Samach Aleph Lamed, because they represent the name of God. The bad letter is the Mem. The Mem is coming to, unfortunately, split between the Samach and the Aleph. Now, when you split the Samach and the Aleph, you can no longer even dream. When you split the Samach, when you take the Mem out of the name Samuel and you're left with Samach Aleph Lamed, then you've removed the evil of Samuel, and what you're left with is what? Is the Kedusha of Samuel. So we said that the Kedusha was in the Aleph Lamed. He's saying it's in the Samach Aleph Lamed. And I have no doubt that there's a combination here of the Samach and the Aleph Lamed, but anyway, he says it's part of the Shema Ayin Beis. Now again, everything lies in the Mem of the Eitz Ahara. And in the case of the Malach HaMavis, everything begins with the Mem of Mavis, which Pinchas was able to vanquish. Now, what we're having in front of our eyes, what we're seeing here, is the ability of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or I should say the ability, because that's partial, but the Shechita of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Yetzirah, means to remove the Mem from the name Samuel. And once he removes the Mem from the name Samuel, we're left with a holy name of God, which is called Samach Aleph Lamed. And then he asks the following question. He says that why is it that the letter Mem is the dangerous letter of the Eitz Ahara? Why? And he says the following, that what the Mem does is it starts the name Mavis, right? So you have Samuel, and the Mem of Samuel is a symbolic message of Mavis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the end of time, at the time of the Geula, is going to remove the Mem from Mavis. And this is based on a pasuk at the end of Tanakh that says, V'yivla Mavis Lenetzach. Milashon Bliya means it'll be swallowed up. Now, if you swallow up the Mem of Samuel, what are you left with? Samach Aleph Lamed. How much is that? When you add a Samach to a Lamed, you get 90, and then you add the Aleph, you get 1. And this gematria, which is called Samach Tzadi Aleph, is a very important gematria, as we'll see as we go along. So the Os Mem of Samuel is a symbolic message of splitting the Samach from the Aleph Lamed. You see where the Mem is wedged in there. And that's Mavis, the Mem of Mavis. That's going to serve as the greatest... What word should I use here? The removal of the Mem of Mavis will give us 91. The number 91 becomes a code word or a code number for man's immortality. So the number Mem, which is now forming, the letter Mem, excuse me, which is now forming, as long as it's there, a wedge between the Samach and the Aleph Lamed, and that wedge is going to create a situation of death, right? Because the evil of the Zohar is in the Mem of Mavis. And now what we have to do is we have to remove that Mem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the end of time is going to remove that mem. He's going to shech the Yetzirah and remove the mem, and what we're left with is the Tzadak Dusha, which is the Samach Aleph Lamed. And again, even though the Gemara in Sukkah that we've been studying about HaKadosh Baruch Hu shechting the Yetzirah doesn't mention the Malach HaMavet, and we're interpreting it as if Hashem is removing the mem, which is the mem of the Malach HaMavet, the answer to that is the Gemara Bava Basra establishes who Satan, who Yetzirah, who Malach HaMavet. There's only one individual. He just wears different garments, so to speak. He reflects himself in different ways, but that being is the Satan, the Yetzirah, and the Malach HaMavet. So the when HaKadosh Baruch at the time of the ultimate Geula is going to remove the mem of Mavet, that's going to be a cube of what it says in Yeshayahu Anovi, Ubila HaMavis LaNetzach. It's going to be complete, utter destruction of death. Man will no longer be plagued by death. He will be an immortal being. And what we're left with is the Gematria Tzadi Aleph. And those are the three letters of God's name, which are Samach, Aleph, Lamed. Samach and Lamed make 90, and then Aleph is 91. This is all an allusion to the holiest name of Hashem. And this is going to be achieved at the end of time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Mekayim, the Nevuah of Ubila HaMavis LaNetzach. So that again, there are now three moments in the history of man when man is immortal. Number one is Adam Achav HaKon Machet. Number two is the time of Kabbalah Satorah. And number three at the time of the ultimate Geula, when Hashem will remove the mem from Malach HaMavet and Ubila HaMavet LaNetzach. This is the only one that's LaNetzach. You know, the first two were temporary. In the case of Adam HaRishon, it was very temporary. In the case of Bnei Yisrael and Har Sinai, that was also pretty temporary. Okay. Now again, we started our discussion by trying to figure out why the Midah Keneged Midah, the reward that was granted to Pinchas, is that he will be the Mavaser HaGeula.
You didn't finish with the punchline.
Oh, I'm sorry, did I skip something?
The punchline of 91 is it 65.
Oh, I'm sorry, 91 is Yudke Vavke and Adnus. Okay, Yudke Vavke is 26. Adnus is very easy, it's 51, 61, and 61 and 20 and 26 is how much?
No, it's 65
and 26 is how much?
91.
It's 91. 91 is representative of the ultimate sanctity of the name of God. I'm sorry, I thought I said it, but I didn't. Okay, now what happens? Pinchas removes the Os Mem from the name Samar. In essence, he's removing the whole power of the Yetzirah, which was hovering over of the Malach HaMavet, which was hovering over Bnei Yisrael at that time. He saves Bnei Yisrael, basically giving them life. So why is he going to be the Mavaser HaGeula? Because again, what's going to happen at the time of the Geula? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to shech the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is the same as he's identical as the Malach HaMavet. And what is God going to remove from the Yetzirah, whose name is Samael? The mem. And who was the first to remove the mem from the Yetzirah, from the Malach HaMavet? Was Pinchas. So it makes sense that Pinchas is now cluing in, so to speak, to the ultimate Ubila HaMavet LaNetzach. He's going to be the Mavaser, the Geula. And what we're left with is Samach Aleph Lamed. And Samach Aleph Lamed is the holy name of God. And it's representing the 91, which is the combination of Yudke Vovke and Adnus. And that's the Midah Keneged Midah, which you'll see here. He spells out in the two paragraphs in the middle of the page, Kevon and Lachen. He says, number one, the great reward that's meted out to Pinchas is that the Malach, he becomes a Malach. That Malach is going to live forever. Number two, he becomes Eliyahu Navi, who's going to be the Mavaser HaGeula, Pinchas Eliyahu, that at the end of days, he's the one who's going to establish Kedusha. He's going to be Matzliach at a time of a Sara. He's going to be able to stand up against the Malach HaMavet and remove the Mem and create Samael, which represents the highest level of Kedusha of Yudke, Vavke, and Adnus together. All this is what Pinchas achieved in his time and will be again repeated at the time of the ultimate Geula. And therefore his schar is that he will live forever and that he will be able to be Mavatel ultimately the Malach HaMoves LaNetzach. He did not succeed completely in being Mavatel the Malach HaMoves, but Hashem will give him the opportunity to dip in and participate in the ultimate, complete, total annihilation of the Yetzer of Samael, when the Mem will be forever and ever removed from the name Samael. And Rav Osai, what's fascinating here is that the highest level of Kedusha of the two Shemas of Hashem are really inherent in the name Samael if you just get rid of the Mem, which is pretty amazing, because Samael represents the Malach HaMoves, the Yetzer Hara, and within his name is the greatest Kedusha of Samach Aleph Mem, I'm sorry, Samach Aleph Lamin, which is the combination of the two holiest names of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei and Adnus. So Pinchas Heshiv Es Chamasi Me'al B'nei Yisrael was the pasuk we started with today. He removes the Chema. Where is the divine anger? It personifies, it expresses itself in the Mem of Moves, which is the Mem of Malach HaMoves. And Pinchas, very interesting, take a look at these five words. Pinchas ben Elazar, ben Aaron HaKohen. How many words is it? Six? And take the first letter of each of these six words. Okay, and calculate them. So Pei is 80, and Beis is 2, so we're up to 82. Add the Aleph of Elazar, and we're up to 83. The Ben is 85. The Aleph is 86. And if you add 5, what number do you get?
91.
Unbelievable. How do you see that in a sequence of 5 words, of 6 words? Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen is the gematria of Samach Aleph Lamed, which is the gematria of Tzadi Aleph, which is the gematria of Yud Kei Vav Kei together with Adnus. And this is what Pinchas is able to achieve. Heshiv es chamasi mi'al b'nei Yisrael, removes the chema of the Mem, and what we're left with is Samach Aleph Lamed. And then we have the comment of the Zohar that when it says b'kanois kinasi b'tocham, we take the word bitocham and it means bitoch mem, which means he takes the mem from within the Malach HaMoves and he removes it. And that's what Rashi means when he says bekanoes kinasi bekitzfo es haketzef shoyli litzko. In other words, Hashem was going to bring out ketzef. Ketzef means absolute anger and destroy the Jewish people. But now Pinchas does bekanoes kinasi. He's going to fulfill the tafkid of ketzef, but instead of the ketzef of Hashem, which is the Malach HaMoves, it's going to be the ketzef of Samach Aleph Lamed and the ketzef against the letter Mem to destroy the letter Mem. Velochilisi es b'nei Yisrael b'kinasi. As a result of Pinchas removing and neutralizing the Mem of Moves, he was able to achieve Velochilisi es b'nei Yisrael, that I would not destroy my people. So Pinchas really is already the first Geula. The first Geula, because if Geula is defined as removing the Mem of Samael, and Hashem is going to do that himself when he shechts the Yetzar, but the first Geula was that of Pinchas. And therefore, Lachen Amar Hinenino Seinlo Esprisi Shalom. And Chazal say in the Medrash, Amalak HaShpoch Hatona Sata Shalom Beini Uvein Bein Bnei Yisrael Beini Ba'olam Hazeh Ani Asid Lavo Li Asid Lavo Ato Hu She'asid Li Tein Shalom Beini Uvein Bonai. That just like Pinchas created this appeasement between God and the people of Israel, so too at the end of time he will do the same. And he's not going to die, Pinchas. He'll come back as Eliyahu HaNavi, and Lasid Lavo, he's going to make peace between Veheshiv Levavos Albanim, between the people of Israel and God in heaven. Just an amazing number of as I said at the outset, of Ramazim in the Torah. And now he quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin. You may remember that Rashi quotes this Gemara that Zimri was such a chutzpin yak, he was such a rebellious guy, he stood up in front of Moshe as he's holding Kozbi by the hair of her head, you know, and he asks Moshe Rabbeinu, am I allowed to marry this woman? She's not Jewish. After all, you're also married to a non-Jewish woman. Yeah, the only difference is that non-Jewish woman converted. But this woman did not. In any event, Moshe Rabbeinu blanks out. And most people will tell you that as they get older, they blank out. They call them a senior moment. So Moshe Rabbeinu had Kaviyochel a senior moment, and he forgot what he himself had taught Bnei Yisrael, that Haboel Kusis, Habol Aramis, Kanoim Pogimbo. Here we're up to page 3. And who reminds him of that halacha? It's Pinchas. Pinchas says, he sees what's going on. Moshe Rabbeinu is shuddering, he's shaking, he doesn't know what to do, what to respond to the Nasi of Shevet Shimon, what's his name, of Zimri. And all of a sudden, Pinchas jolts Moshe Rabbeinu's memory. And he says to him, Lokachli Maritonu, Beriditcha Mihar Sinai. Unbelievable. What was the first thing that Moshe taught when he got down from Har Sinai? Quiz question. Ask your children. See if they can come up with the answer. And if they can't, send them back to school. Everybody knows the first thing that Hashem taught Bnei Yisrael when he came down from Har Sinai. Haboel Aramis Kanoim Pogimbo. Now, why was that the first thing that Moshe Rabbeinu would teach Bnei Yisrael when he came down from Har Sinai? So in order to appreciate this, we have to learn the Shaloh HaKadosh. And as you know, the Shaloh lived about 2 centuries ago. His name was Horovitz. And he says that the Yetzer Hara, who is also called Samoel, gets its yenika from the Aleph Lamed at the end of the name Samoel, because that's God's name. Now, wait a second. We just finished saying in the name of the Baal Shem Tov that Liyasid, Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is going to take the Mem out of Samoel. Well, this is a little bit strange, because if we're talking about removing the Mem, then you're left with 3 letters, Samach, Aleph, Lamed. And that's going to be a Lashon Kodesh, that's going to be some sort of holy name of Hashem. So why does the Samach Mem become he says, I'll read to you his language, he says, Maduim kena Samach Mem makabel begolus, Yenika rak mi beis osios al aleph lamed velomi gimel osios samach aleph lamed. Why is it that the Yetzer Hara gets its chius, its reality, its existence force from aleph lamed? It should logically be so that it gets its existence from samach aleph lamed. You know, in a certain sense, you're whittling down the koach achius here, according to the Shaloh, from Samach Aleph Lamed to Aleph Lamed. L'chora, the Samach itself is also part of God's holy name. So the answer is because the Samach is not going to help. The Samach is not going to give chiyus, because what separates, what wedges between the Samach at the beginning of the word Samuel and the Aleph Lamed at the end of the word? You guessed it, it's the Mem, right? The Mem wedges between the Samach and the Aleph Lamed. So that the power of Samoel, which is again engendered and nurtured from the Aleph Lamed, is the Samach Mem, the Samach and the Mem. You'll ask me, but Samach is part of God's name, Sa'el, right? But no, at this point in time, since the Mem is powerful and it's active, that's the Mem of Moves, the Samach is not able to link up with the Aleph Lamed. It's separated by a great barrier called the Mem. And therefore, all the, you know, whatever nitzotz of Kedusha you could talk about in Samuel, it's only from the Aleph and the Lamed. And here we're going on to the middle column of page 3. And he says the following. The Rebbe Elimelech had a brother whose name was he had a son whose name was Rebbe Eliezer Lipa. And he wrote a book called Orach Letzadik, and he says the following, that our job, if we want to defeat the Yetzer Hara and the Malach HaMoves, is to get rid of the Mem And once we get rid of the mem, which is wedging between the samach and the aleph lamed, so number one, we are empowered by the aleph lamed of Hashem, but even more so, we're empowered by the holiest name of Hashem, which is samach lamed, which is samach aleph lamed. Now he says something amazing. There are two types of mems in the Torah. One is called a mem stuma, and the other is called a mem psucha. The difference being, is there any way of infiltrating into the mem? If you have a mem psucha, you could infiltrate. If you have a mem stuma, we call it a longer mem or a sof mem, whatever you want to call it. It's a mem sofit. Do you remember that from your early days? The mem sofit. The mem sofit doesn't allow any. It's completely surrounded on all sides. I would call it insulation, if I could use that term. And there's no way that you could penetrate into the closed samoil. But wait a minute. The mem of samoil is open. It's a mem pshuta. That's very dangerous. As long as the mem is a psucha, then there's access here. There's a pathway. And that's going to empower the mem of the mem psucha of the evil of the malach hamoves. So now what we have to do is we have to accomplish the following goal. We have to somehow convert or transform the mem psucha into a mem stuma. What's this all about? Well, what is the deeper meaning of a mem stuma and a mem psucha? So to understand this, we have to learn something from the Megala Mukos. His name is Rav Shimshon Shapiro. He lived 5 centuries ago. And he says the following, that for 40 years, the Bnei Yisrael went into the Midbar. They carried 4 degolim to 4 ruchos. Now what this means is that there were encampments of the Shvatim in 4 different sections. So there were 3 Shvatim in each section, and there was not only the flags of each individual Shevet, but there was also 1 general flag. And the way that the 4 Machnos were situated, they were in a kind of a circle. And there were 4 degolim on the outside, so to speak, of this great circle. And the Megala Muko says that the closed circle is represented by a mem stuma. Because again, what we're doing is we're creating a choma. Who can tell me what a choma is?
A wall.
But specifically, usually the word choma is used in the Torah as a wall that goes around something. It's kind of like, if I give the mashal, you know, the kala walks around the chasan 7 times. She creates a choma. What's the purpose of a choma? Which I hold parasha at the end of Sefer Yikra about an ir mukefes choma. What does mukefes choma mean? Surrounded by a wall for what purpose?
Protection.
Protection for security. That's the mem psucha. The mem psucha is the choma because it doesn't allow anything to enter. It's totally insulated. What do you say, Michael? Mem stuma. What did I say? I meant to say mem stuma. So when the mem is closed on all sides, then it's a choma bitsura. Bitsura means how do you say it in English? Bitsura. What's the word? No, bitsura is like when you talk about the, you know, if you go to the ancient castles, what word do you to describe them? You know, they were fortified. Oh, that's the word I need. Like, you see, sometimes the word pops into my brain. Fortified. That's called bitsura. So fortification is represented by which mem? Let's get it right this time. The mem stuma. Okay. But the Yetzer Hara is very excited about what kind of a mem in the name Samoil? A mem psucha. Why? Because that gives the ability to be poretz the choma. The choma represents the fortification that surrounds kedusha and it keeps sanctity fortified. The mem psucha, on the other hand, that is the symbolic representation of the samoil of the Yetzer Hara, because he wants to find a way of entering into this fortress. and breaking it down and penetrating it. That's what Shlomo Melech says in Koheles, Poreitz Geder Yishachenu Nochash. What's a Poreitz Geder? Or you find in Yechezkel, Bo Bo Pritzim V'Chalu, it means to penetrate a fortress. Who remembers on which day, not today, but which day of the calendar year, we fast because of the penetration of the Choma? Asar B'Tevis. That's the day in which the enemies of the Jewish people penetrated the... And the Yetzer is doing this all the time. He's tempting us to expose Kedusha to other kinds of negative influences of Tumah. And that's represented, personified by the Mem Psucha of Samuel, which is the Mem of Moves, of the same person, the same entity called the Malach HaMoves. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes Moshe Rabbeinu up to Shemayim to give him the Torah for how many days and how many nights?
Mem.
40 Mem. And that's the Mem Stuma. The 40 days of Moshe Rabbeinu is the Mem Stuma. The Mem Stuma means the way in which we fortify the Kedusha. Moshe Rabbeinu is gonna come down from the heavens with a Torah, and the purpose of that Torah is to create a Mem Stuma. The exact opposite of the Mem Sucha of Samuel of the Yetzer Hara. And that's the 40 days that Moshe comes down. Now, a sinner also has to get this message of the number 40, because he also should become Sosem. Why did he sin? He sinned because he allowed certain influences to penetrate and break down the fortress that surrounded the Kedusha. And therefore, how many Malkus do we meet out to the Chote in order to send that message of Mem, meaning a Mem Skura, Mem Astuma, is the number 40, 40 Yakenu. You know, it always bothered me, why does the Torah say 40 when it really means 39? 39. But here there's a symbolic message in the number 40 which represents a Mem Stuma. Moshe Rabbeinu is up on the mountain of Mem Stuma to teach the Torah that will fortify us with Kedusha that's protected. And we want to send a message to the Chote of the Mem Stuma. And therefore we meet out 40 lashes. Interesting, the Torah, the Shas begins with a Mem and ends with a Mem. The first Mishnah in Shas is Mei Amosai. And the last letter in the Torah, I'm sorry, in Shas is Bishalom. And Bishalom ends with a Mem. So the Mem at the beginning of the Shas, at the Bimsetha Brachas, is what? A Mem Psucha. And the Mem at the end of the Shas is a Mem Skura. And basically what happens in between is Matan Torah, so to speak. We begin with a Mem Psucha. We're very exposed and vulnerable to all sorts of influences. Today you could talk about influences Ad Ein Sof. It's mind-boggling what's going on in America today. They want to force educational institutions to teach about, you know, same-sex marriages and all this at young ages. That a child who's a pipsqueak, if you pardon the expression, a bambino, you know, and he doesn't know beans, and they're going to teach him that there are two kinds of marriages that are on the same level. And they're trying to force educational institutions, even parochial institutions.
It's happening in the UK at the moment.
Oh, it's happening in the UK?
It's starting at the moment, yeah.
Yeah. So there was a Supreme Court decision about a week ago in the United States about a Yid who refused to bake a cake. He was a baker, you know, for same-sex marriage. And it reached the Supreme Court of the United States. He won the case, which is amazing. But the only reason he won the case is for a different reason. They skirted the issue, you know. Anyway, forget about that. But the influences of the... We have a problem now with that computer. We don't know how it happened. Something penetrated into our computer like a Mem Psucha. They're showing flashes of things that we're not supposed to be looking at, and my wife is trying to figure out how to get rid of this. And they have all sorts of what do they call them, the Sifonim, you know, those those programs that you put the computer to siphon out what are they called, you don't know what I mean, like
the firewall kind of thing.
Yeah, what's the name, the general name for that? You know, that it makes sure that things don't get into your computer that you shouldn't be seeing. Anyway,
antivirus.
No, there's a word for it. I'm just looking for that word. Anyway, you see that we're under tremendous influences all over the place, and you know, a terrible thing happened last week. A whole group of kids that were here birthright, were influenced by a group called BDS. These are the anti-Israeli Jews, and they took them out. These guys packed out of birthright. I think it was in the first week, and they're demonstrating against the terrible oppressors of Israel who are oppressing the Palestinians. These are the influences that we're under these influences. And can you imagine Jews in America who, or in any country, who are so on the, they're on the verge of. So we need desperately a mem stuma. And the mem stuma, by the way, which is represented by the last letter in Shas, meaning now that we have Torah, we're ready, Barasi Yitzhar, Barasi Torah Tavlin, against Yitzhar we have the Torah. The Torah is represented by the mem stuma. Well, what time is it now? Ooh, I apologize. I had no clue what time is it. Look, I'm leaving you with page 4. And what's fascinating about page 4, I'm just going to mention it to you, that there are two psukim in Tanakh where a mem psucha is replaced by a mem stuma. And the reverse, and the opposite. One pasuk is in Yeshaya and Novi, the other is in Nehemiah, and here on page 4, he develops a whole thesis, and the essence of that thesis is that Moshe comes down from Har Sinai with the most important message of the Torah, and that's Bo'el Aromis Kanoim Pogimbo, because this is what we need. If there's any area of human behavior which requires a mem stuma, it's going to be the choma for arayos, for the area of immodesty and immorality. And that's the first lesson that Moshe Rabbeinu brings when he comes down from our scene as the Kanoim Pogimbo. That we have to understand that in this particular area called human sexual relationships, that's where we need the greatest choma, because the Yetzirah works overtime in that area. We need protection and we need a mem stuma. And that pasuk in Tanakh, where a mem is converted into a mem stuma, is meant to convey that same message. And Pinchas is the one who has to remind Moshe Rabbeinu about what Moshe taught as the very first lesson, which is the lesson against Benos Moav of Kanoim Pogimbo. And since it was Pinchas who reminded Moshe, again, you have to understand why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't remember this, about the getter of Kedushas Arayis and the mem stuma of Kanoim Pogimbo, Pinchas is the one who's going to take that romach. And you remember that the Romach represents the vanquishing of the Mem of the Eitzahar of Samuel, or the Mem of Moves, in which Pinchas takes that and adds it to his name, Pinchas, and he ends up with the number 91, and that number 91 represents the Kedusha. So we'll end with a tefillah that we should be Zocher and Mirz Hashem, that Pinchas should reveal himself. He's alive and well today, because God promised him immortality. He is Eliyahu HaNavi. He's the harbinger of the Geula. He's going to tell us it's time to shech the mem of Samuel, and then we're left with the holiest name of Hashem, which is Sael, which is the Tzadi Aleph of the two Kedushos, and in that sense will be Meshiv Lev Avos Al Bonim Ken Yiratzon. Amen.